You can turn to Psalm 46. Be our text today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be returning to Hebrews. Put this text in our heart today. Psalm 46, and let's pray before we. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to the truth as it's found in Jesus. We pray that you would bless your servant and your servants on this day as we consider your word. We know that the flowers fail, but the word of our God stands forever. May that be good for our souls and those listening and participating today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the word of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. May God add richly as we consider today. And in verse 10 we read, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I've had trouble being still. Being still, knowing that God is God. The psalmist calls to live like we know who God is, and to live like we know who God is in intimacy and daily and in our walks, to be still as opposed to being fearful, which is found in the text. Don't be fearful, instead to be still, as opposed to being unsettled, or to be still. And I know that no man since the fall is naturally inclined to be still. That is, that we're inclined to be unsettled, to be fearful, to be apprehensive. And I want us to talk about that today in light of Psalm 46. A psalm of radical trust. It's a psalm of giving over unto God in the face of threat. In the face even of great threat. So let's consider Psalm 46 together today. Let's begin by just asking, what might unsettle your hearts in 2020? What might cause you to fear? What might cause you to fear? Hear over and over again that there's just so much going on, so much craziness, so much unrest, so much trouble, feeling, observing that it's not the same world that it was however long ago. There's something going on. That the hinges, if you will, are coming off. That things are either going crazy or they're about to go crazy, that something has changed, that there's something different in the world in which we live. Is it because of COVID? Is it because of the virus? Is it because we have Trump versus Biden? And what is that going to look like 3 months, 6 months from now? Is it because there are riots? And the riots don't seem to end, and buildings are being burned, and things are being destroyed. And we say, what is happening in the world in which we live? And where is this going, citizens accosted. Maybe your hearts are unsettled because American Airlines said that they were going to cut 19,000 jobs this week. Or the news that this week that America's debt is now greater than at any time since World War II. And in fact, our debt now is at the level of an entire year of goods and services. That is, that it's a whole year of GDP, the highest since World War II. And then this year's debt is what, $3 trillion? $3 trillion, and everyone begging just to spend more than that. What might cause your hearts to be unsettled today? How about raising your children in a world that's more and more self-consciously anti-Christian every day? Like, you read the newspaper, you turn on television, or you look at the internet, it's self-consciously anti-Christian, so that the wheels feel like they're coming off the tracks. And that's just on a corporate level. That's just on a big level, big picture level. This is before what might be happening in your personal life, in your personal kingdom. Maybe there are issues in your marriage or in your family that you have struggles with your children, your concern for your children and their particular well-being. Maybe you have struggles with employment. Maybe struggles with health. It's easy, so easy to be unsettled, easy to be in fear. Easy to be unsettled, easy to be in fear. We know that from the Bible itself that that's often the case. In fact, even saints are fearful. So how does the Bible begin? God calls Abraham, and then Abraham becomes fearful about his wife Sarah and does not faithfully protect her. Or Saul, the first king. How is Saul known for when he becomes king? He is the king of Israel. He is anointed by God. And when they anoint him as king, they find him hiding amongst the baggage. He's fearful. Or Peter, the apostle Peter, has a little girl speak to him. A little girl speak to him. And what does he do? He's fearful. He's fearful because of what this little girl, probably a slave girl, what she might do to him. And we know that in life, that beyond the Bible, that anxiety is the most prominent amongst our nation, the most prominent or most likely described. If you're on a drug for a particular need for anxiety, that how that's become normative, because we know how easy it is to be unsettled, how easy it is to be fearful, how easy it is to start thinking of worst case scenarios. And then the psalmist, our second point, then speaks of an impending chaos. Verse 2, we read, even though the earth be removed. That is, that even though the earth as we know it, even though the earth gives way, that the earth as we know it is no longer, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that the mountains fall into the midst of the sea. So if you think of anything as strength in this world, or anything as glory, it's a mountain, and the power and the majesty. And what the psalmist is saying, you know what? That even the mountains will fall into the heart of the sea, that the mountains as you see them and as you know them, that they'll fall. That which represents stability and strength, the unmovable, the strong, the mountains will fall into the sea, and its waters will roar and foam, and the mountains will quake with their surging. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The psalmist is speaking of uncreation. God brought order to the creation, and then what happens in contrast to the sovereignty of God? There's a sense of chaos, a sense of uncreation. Human existence would be threatened with dissolution if the roaring, surging seas and the waters were able to topple the mountains into the sea. so that the earth would give way. That is, that the gods of creation would be cowering in fear behind the walls of the heavenly abode. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the hearts of the sea. That is, that it's the breaking up, the psalmist is saying, this is the breaking up of the world as we know it, the undoing of the world, the unsettling of the world. And the psalmist speaks of such things. And yet the psalmist's counsel, and the psalmist's request, and the psalmist's command is that even though all these things happen, you are not to fear. Therefore, we will not fear. The mountain is undone. The world goes nuts. The world breaks apart before your very eyes. Though things that you did not believe could happen are happening, mountains falling into the seas, crazy, crazy, crazy things. And yet we hear and we are told that we are not to be defined by fear, that we are not to be defined by fear. Though these things be happening, he acknowledges that they're happening. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. But he begins by saying, therefore we will not fear, that we will not be defined by fear, that that will not be the characteristic which marks off the believer in God and in his word. Why should you not fear? What's the calling then not to fear? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged and the kingdoms moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So he speaks then of the impending chaos, but then he speaks of a city, of a place where God himself will be found. He speaks of a place of refuge where God himself is in the midst of her, and God will not be moved, that the strength of the Lord, that although the waters may be raging, and yet there's a placid feeling of peace, because the city of God, for the psalmist, is Jerusalem, the place where God dwells, where the Most High dwells, the city of God. Where is God to be found? Where is God in all of this? He is in his city. He is in Jerusalem. He is in his temple. He is amongst his people. And what will happen to that place? God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. God will help in the morning. God will be there. God will be with his people. The nations will go down. The nations rage, and the kingdoms removed. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. So he warns the nations, and yet for the people of God, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In fact, God himself is ruling. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. That God is ruling, that he's reigning. He makes behold the works of the Lord. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He spurns the chariot in the fire. Be still, therefore, people of God, he says. Be still, that you would know this God, and that you would know this city, that you would see whatever it is, the tumult that is in our lives or your lives, and that you would be still, knowing that he is God, and that God will be exalted among the nations, and that God will be exalted in the earth, so that the reader of the psalm is to read this and to say, yes, the Lord God is ruling. Yes, the Lord God is is reigning, no matter what it might say on the front page of the New York Times or whatever I might see in the mountains doing, that I have to know, that I have to live by faith, that God is ruling and that God is reigning, even in the midst of zaniness, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst as things are turning upside down before our very before our very God eyes, I should say. The reality of God's rule, reign, and presence in his city. Be still and know that I am God, that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. My prayer for the souls who are with us here today is that no matter what the tumult might be, whatever the mountains that are falling into the heart of the sea, either corporately or individually, that you would be able to be still and to know that God is God. It may be nuts. You may be in the midst of the biggest battle that you've ever had in your life, or the hardest, most difficult trial that you've ever had in your life. And God speaks to you, to the people of God today, and to say, be still to know that he is God. Be still and know. That God is God, and that he reigns even today, and that he's reigning in his city, in the city of God, in the church, and in the kingdom. As you know, or I will remind you that Martin Luther loved this psalm. Martin Luther loved the psalms, and his favorite psalm was Psalm 46. It was said that Luther, during times of the Reformation, that it was dark and dangerous, that he was discouraged, he was terribly discouraged and depressed. And Luther would turn to his buddy, Philip Melanchthon, say, come, Philip, let us sing the 46th psalm. Then they would sing it in Luther's own strong version. A sure stronghold our God is he, a timely shield and weapon. Our help he'll be and set us free. From every ill can happen, we know it is. A mighty fortress is our God. Luther said, we sang this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin. And he would sing this psalm to that end. Luther said, we sing this psalm to the praise of God. We sing this psalm because God is with us, powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against the fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and the sin. And do the people of God believe that? The Lutheran scholar says, few psalms breathe the spirit of sturdy confidence in the Lord in the midst of very real danger as strongly as this one. That is, in the midst of such trial, in the midst of such danger, he speaks out the very words of God of comfort, that it would be their strength. So that in 1527, Luther faced one of the greatest difficulties of his life. The Black Plague swept across Germany and much of the European continent. Luther's son almost died, and his own body was fainting under the mounting pressure. In the midst of this personal conflict, Luther found himself contemplating the promises of Psalm 46, an encouraging psalm of trust and the invincibility of the Lord. When God made mankind, He made us as a creature so that we would be dependent upon Him, that we would have to trust in Him and give over unto Him. God never intended, and this is even before the fall, but think about the effects after the fall, that we would live independently of God. That is, that the call has always been that we would live in terms of God and the reality of His promises and the reality of His existence. And the inclination in sinful man is to say that I can do it on my own. The inclination is to say that I don't really need God. The inclination is to say that I can do it on my own. But then the inclination is also, if that's the case, to not live at peace, to live in fear, to live in anxiety. And that's then what we find around us, that we live with no peace. And we're reminded then that we're not supposed to live independently, but rather in utter reliance upon God. To be human is to be a creature, and to be a dependent creature upon the living God. So the psalmist in Psalm 46, the Psalm of the sons of Korah, he begins by saying that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. So the challenge then always is for the people of God. The challenge, this is a very practical challenge, in that we think of God in some abstract way, or that we know that God exists, and praise God that He does exist, and that we acknowledge that. But for the psalmist says, you know who God is? God is our refuge, and He is a strength and a very present help in trouble. That is, that God is never this abstract being that lives out there, but that in the midst of trial, that in the midst of difficulty, that in the midst of when you don't know how you're going to go on, we're reminded by the psalmist that God is a refuge, that we would think of God as a refuge, that we would think of Him as a strength, and that we would think of Him as a very present help in trouble even today. That would be the definition as to who God is. The refuge. Where do you go? You go to God. You find strength in Him, and that He is a very present help in trouble. So that there's this radical confidence that we're standing without fear, even in the face of threat. In the face of threat. Even though all goes down, even though everything that we know to be right doesn't seem to be right, yet the psalmist is confident, knowing that God is a refuge and strength and help in trouble. So Elder Clements read from Psalm 112. For the psalmist in Psalm 112, God was not abstract to him. The psalmist said that the righteous man, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. So that the believing of the living God made it so that he was not fearful of what was going to happen, that his heart was steadfast, that he was trusting in God, that he was secure. Or the psalmist in Psalm 131, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. So that the Christian then has a sense of peace, or God is granting, or we're yearning for this sense of peace. Or the psalmist in Psalm 61, a beautiful imagery that he would hide himself under the shadow of God's wing. That when you're having a hard day, when the difficulty comes, what do? You hide yourself in God under the shadow of His wing. Or in Psalm 56, when I'm afraid, I will trust in You. When, in God whose word I praise, in God I will trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? So in difficulty, in trial, in fear, he's going to God and saying and professing, in God I will trust, I will not be afraid, even when I am afraid, because what can man do to me? And then the psalmist in Psalm 62, find rest, O my soul, in God alone, for He is my rock and my salvation, He is my fortress, I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend upon God. He is my mighty one. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. So the encouragement then, as these things come to us, is that we would pour out our hearts to God, that we would not somehow think that we're self-sufficient, that we can do it, but that we would be honest to God about that which is on our hearts and that which is on our minds, that which is weighing us down, that which is keeping us up, that which we're waking up and thinking about, that which we're playing over and over and over again, whether it be a big thing or a little thing, that we would pour out our hearts before God, that there would be a certain transparency in our relationship with the Lord, and that we would be, yes, pouring out our hearts to God, knowing that that's where rest is to be found. No abstractions. There's a refuge, a strength with every present help. Excuse me. Elder Clemens read from Matthew's Gospel in the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "Come unto me. Come. Come unto me, all you are laboring, heavy laden." He says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Jesus says, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light." Prior to that, Jesus preaching, as a preacher, says, "Look, I know that you're worried about food and you're worried about clothing. You're worried about where it's all going to come, that it's natural for you to worry about such things." But he says, "Do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." What are you going to wear? Don't you see that God actually clothes the field? He clothes with the lilies? Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these? That is that if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven or thrown into the fire, or think of it, right? All the beautiful flowers that you see in a month or 2 months from now, they will be no longer. And if God provides for them, how much more so, he says, will I clothe you? How much more so? That is that if he cares for the flowers, how much more so will he care for his people, O you of little faith? So may God increase our faith. Therefore, don't worry, he says. Don't you worry, don't you be fearful about what you're going to eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear. Don't worry about those things, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows what you need today. He knows, and he says that seek first the kingdom, seek after God, seek the kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So that God doesn't make us so that we can handle thinking about a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. He says, no, you worry about today. Do you have food today? Do you have clothing today? Do you have what you need today? Then be encouraged in that. And God knows our needs. He knows that we are dust. He knows our frailty. We also read, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So I ask you to live in terms of that today and this week. That as we cast our anxiety on the Lord, that we would be still and know that I am God. That is the Lord. That we would be still and know that I am God. And that the Lord of hosts is with us. And that the God of Jacob is our refuge. And that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place and the tabernacle of the Most High. That God is in the midst of her, that is in the church and amongst his people. And that she shall not be moved, and God will help her at the break of dawn, even though the nations rage. So, in and through Jesus, the calling then is to be still, to cast your cares upon him, and to know that the Lord is God. So let us pray. Lord, many things that cause us to fear, and yet we're encouraged by the psalmist. Go to God, and he will be our refuge and our strength and our very present help in trouble. So be near, we pray, unto the people of God, whether the mountains be falling into the heart of the sea, whatever trial we have before us, we ask the Lord that we would be strong, growing strong in and through Jesus, that we would look to him, come unto me, as he says, all who are weary and heavy laden. So that is our counsel here today. So bless us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name.